Hi, I'm Dan Shipton, CEO of BitMethod and your host. Today we've got Scott Kuby, our senior product director, is also here with us.
Hello.
He's helping produce the show as well as adding his two cents along the way. Thanks for helping us today, Scott.
I'm happy to be here today, Dan.
Thank you.
I told Dan before the show he has to stop saying today.
Our guest today is Nick Gernert. He's the director of platform services at Voci Communications. Nick hails from Winter Haven, Florida, where he oversees all web development projects and also Voci's distributed workforce. Thanks for taking the time today to stop out.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
So today on the Flyover Effect, we're going to talk a little bit about agencies. We're going to talk a little bit about the service world and how brand differentiation plays into that. Before we get started, real quick, Nick, what's your background? Are you, what does director of platform services mean? And what does just having a distributed workforce mean?
Sure. So, background is, just custom, has been custom web development. I was more on the, actual application development side. So programming side of it. So background in programming, started back in 1996. So, wasn't a lot that anybody really knew much about what they were doing at that time. So kind of figuring it out with a lot of different folks. But started out doing some local web development work for companies in Winter Haven, Florida. So Winter Haven's a small little town, probably situated smack dab in the middle between Orlando and Tampa. So that was really just started out doing doctor's offices, local chamber of commerce. You know, there's a lot of tourism in the area. So some tourism websites and things like that. And, just trying to figure things out there and mostly brochure based websites. And, everything has kind of grown, over time to kind of the point at which we're at now, which we can kind of go back into, you know, more depth around, as we go here. But
yeah, like Voci, you know, from what I understand and from what I've seen is, at the top of the WordPress world when it comes to service agencies that are doing WordPress work.
Yeah. We've been very fortunate to kind of be kind of leading the way in a lot of what that community is doing right now and really kind of pushing the boundaries of what's possible on that platform. You know, we were always platform agnostic. You know, we had some principles that were more around user experience, having a great user experience and making the publishing part easy. So, for those that were having to run their websites, we were really focused on, how do we make that as easy for them as possible? And then for those that are actually using those sites, how do we make that a great overall experience? So, we started with a lot of custom type, content management. We were building our own, we were hand rolling our own content management solutions back in the day and trying to, just figure out how that process could be easy for folks, managing calendars or managing, you know, upcoming news and things like that. So, you know, started out doing that. And at a certain point we had decided hand rolling your own CMS is really a painful process. You have to hire people and then you have to bring them up to speed on how your custom app was working. And then you've got to, train your clients on that. And if things happen with it, or if features are going to be iterated, it's only you that's going to do that. You don't have any sort of backing from anyone else to kind of help make that better. So, we had decided to try to look more towards frameworks and different platforms to try to do this. So we had, been using Movable Type actually a lot for some early blog projects. And, we had decided in 2006, we were going to try a couple of WordPress projects, and it just so happened that the first one we tried was Sony PlayStation blog. That was probably not the best idea in hindsight to think like, okay, Sony PlayStation is going to launch a blog and we're going to do the kind of the first WordPress project that we've really done for any, you know, large client besides an internal project. Let's do it for Sony. So it's probably not the best idea, but we had done that and actually it worked out really well, worked to our favor because that then got us kind of some recognition within the WordPress community that then allowed us to be in the position where we are now, where we've got just a lot of different kind of those caliber brands and things that we're working with within that platform. But the intention was never to be like we are a WordPress shop. We were not built that way. That was not the fundamental. The fundamentals were let's make publishing easy. Let's have a platform here that really enables our clients to push their message and to communicate and do those things. And it's just so happened that WordPress has been a good fit for that. So that's been strong for us.
What other big sites do you have running on WordPress? What have been some of the tougher projects that you've tackled with WordPress so far?
Yeah, so we've from PlayStation, then that led into a lot of different WordPress projects. So we then started working with eBay on a number of projects that they were launching. So eBay launched their corporate blog, which is eBay Inc. blog, I-N-K blog, .com. So their corporate blog ended up rolling that on WordPress, which then ended up getting recognition among other folks at eBay saying, we see you're doing this with publishing. We really like what you're doing. We like what we're seeing as far as just the how quickly content's coming out and things like that. We've got a couple other sites we think we want to roll out on this. So that led into eBay's announcements board, for example, where they do all of their, if we're going to be doing updates or anything like that, that's where they're pushing that message to buyers and sellers. So then we worked with them to kind of launch that. And additional microsites and things like that, it was then viewed as, this can help us get some things up pretty quickly. So let's do that. So, you know, grew from there. Logitech and VeriSign, CBS.
I saw that you guys had done TED. Was that a fun project?
Yeah. And that's one of those ones that's really kind of, when that comes to the door and they're like, hey, we're TED. We'd love to do a project. And you're like,
Yeah,
inside you're screaming. And then on the outside, you're like, yeah, that would, you know, we could probably slot you in. But yeah, it was a really kind of fun project. And that's what's really refreshing about a lot of this is these are things that, we look up to as brands or that we already use in some way. And then we get to be a part of that, which is pretty exciting. So,
what is your role now? Like, what are you doing on a day-to-day basis for Voce?
The biggest role right now is kind of managing our direction and our growth. So as a result, 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, that we were a team of five, and that was when I started the team back in 2001. It was from 2001 until 2009. We went from one to five people. Mm-hmm. And it was just very modest growth. It was get some projects, and try to pick the right projects that were technically challenging for us and kind of moved that ball forward and got us some additional recognition. And then just responsibly grow that team. And then from 2009 until 2011, we've basically more than doubled the size of the team. And so, there's a lot that comes along with that that you don't really realize at the time. But, as this has been happening, the expectations, with the brands and the projects and the gravity of them are infinitely higher than they ever have been in the past. So it's kind of managing how we meet that level of expectation that comes with the types of projects that we're now involved with, how we grow, this team responsibly. It's a very, kind of team focus. We're very much driven by the personalities in the office. It's a very talented group, but it's just as much about the actual individuals on this team as it is about the work itself. And so we have to be very mindful of the culture. It's just a very, we pride ourselves on the culture of this team. And so every hire is just like, is almost like a marriage. It's treated as such. There's a lot of vetting that goes into it. We want to make sure you're a really good fit for this team. And trying to scale to meet demands of projects and keep that level of team integrity, is really challenging. So that's a lot of what I have to end up, focusing on right now is how we maintain the core of what got us to this point. But still be able to, grow and obviously, do more things that any of us want to do is kind of having, as we're growing a business like that. So,
when it comes to like brand differentiation, right? Like I don't think you guys accidentally landed on top of, being one of the lead agencies for WordPress development and user experience, things like that. How did you chart that course and how did that take form?
Right. So, I think part of it is dumb luck, but there is a certain part of this that goes back to fundamentals. Like there is always just been a belief on that I've had and that permeates through the team that, we're trying to enable people to basically communicate. We're trying to help them through the web have a platform in which they can get their message out and that it's effective for what they're trying to do. And so from a client perspective, that's huge, because that has implications on, staff training. Your staff's happier if they're not having to languish in some, you know, terrible system and things like that. You're more apt to keep things up to date if it's easy to use and you want to use it. And then on the user side of that, if we're layering on a great experience, then users want to like actually interact with that, and the people visiting the site. And there's new things there because the, our clients are empowered to actually, you know, want to keep their content up to date and everything else. So, you know, those two things coming together for us, I think holding to those principles has allowed us to create some great sites. And I, you know, modestly think that, the work that, that Jeremy, Harrington on our team and in terms of an interface design and the focus on that, really gets us that level of polish that you don't always see. And that, is wrongfully so within the WordPress community, a perception though, that there is a look of a WordPress site. Yeah. And I'll get that a lot is, well, your projects don't look like WordPress sites. And I'm like, well, no, our projects look like websites. Because that's really what WordPress powers. But I get that it probably doesn't look like a traditional blog necessarily. But it does. We do emphasize that extra layer of polish there that somebody like an eBay or somebody like a PlayStation can say, all right, I can use this platform and this team is obviously, you know, they adhere to brand standards. They're obviously detail oriented in terms of the interface. So they can carry our brand message forward as well as develop a custom platform for us that fits our business needs, and deliver on that. And that's all, you know, the last part of that is just delivering on those commitments. There's a lot of that's asked. There's a lot of interesting challenges that are put in front of us. And it's, we've delivered on those commitments, you know, every time, which is, I think, probably the big part there too.
What do you think you guys are doing differently that, that kind of cues people in to say, you know, if you come here, like, we're not going to put out a, we're not going to build you $1,000 website.
Right.
We're not going to take a off the shelf template and do that for you.
Yeah. We are embedded members of your team. Like, you know, when we go through the client process, it's almost like you're doing the interview process again for your job. So, you know, I go in there and I'm talking to you about, you know, a potential project that you might have. We're going to sit down as if I was just interviewing to be a hire on your team. And we're going to be that in lock, you know, in that sort of lockstep as we go through this project. Because I need your involvement, because you know what you're trying to do. You know your industry, you know your business. I need your insights just as much as you need my insights on what it is we deliver in terms of web platforms and what we turn and content management or user experience, all those things. So we have to meet in the middle on this. This isn't something where you're going to come to me and say, here's a, like a list of product requirements. Do this, because that just doesn't work. It's not like we go back in a vacuum and then come back and it's delivered. This is a two-way street here. And so we want people to feel like that, we're all just part of the same team building the same product. And at the end of the day, we're sharing in the successes as much as we might share in any failures that might happen along that way. But holding people accountable on both sides of that process, it's just a, you know, a very integrated approach that feels, you know, high touch, which I think is just absolutely necessary when you're talking about the types of sites and the types of projects that the team ends up working on. So you know, we have to keep that level of contact. And I think that's a key differentiator for us is that we are, you know, very involved and very kind of available to kind of work through those things through the process.
So it's a lot of messaging.
Yes. And it, I mean, it's like, let's make ourselves available in the medium that, that you want to, that you want to reach out to us. So if you want to reach out via IM and talk to me that way, and bounce some ideas off me or whatever that is, let's do that. If jump on Skype and let's talk on Skype, let's do that. If you want to call a cell phone, let's, you know, figure that stuff out. It's not that like, we're going to have a weekly call and that's when we're going to talk and then we're going to break and we're going to come back and I'll talk to you again next Tuesday and we'll recap on where we're at with that thing. It's just a much more involved type process. And it's a personal process too. Like just as personal as it is among our team and our team members, I want to feel that same level of, you know, personal connection with our clients as much as possible so that we're, yes, we're partners in terms of a business arrangement here, but we should enjoy each other's company and things like that as well. If we're going to be working closely together for months or years, depending on how long this engagement might last.
Do you think that you have more of a traditional marketing agency relationship with your clients as opposed to, say, a development partner? Like that somebody gets brought in to, you know, tackle a project and they're done and they get out of the way. What does it mean in 2011 to be a digital agency, to do that kind of work with people?
Yeah. So, I mean, a huge, you know, if we rewind here a little bit in our history, I was actually, you know, the group of five that I was talking about in 2000, you know, in 2009, we actually joined up with a company, that Voce Communications. Prior to that, we were known as CMP, which was the firm in Winter Haven that we had done. In 2006, we were actually working with Voce to help them launch the Sony PlayStation blog. They had talked to Sony PlayStation about needing to do a about a corporate blog presence and the value that would be in that. And then through some mutual contacts, Voce reached out to us to say, can you help us execute this? And so then that led to additional projects with them where they were going in and talking about different content strategies that folks needed to have. And then they were talking with us about the execution of those things. That type of connection there, I think, is a big differentiator for us right now, because there is a platforms side of this, and we're very good at that. But understanding the publishing side of this and what happens after you turn over that publishing platform is a huge benefit for us, because there needs to be a program and there needs to be a strategy around what you're doing now with the tools that you've got. So, you know, here's this great new system that's only as powerful as what you're going to be doing to drive people to that. And so what Voce is doing, so I'm the director of platform services. There's really three like heads to Voce. There's a traditional PR comms agency. There's social media services, which is focused on social media programs and outreach and things like that. And then there's the actual platform development. So social media services and PR can go and talk about comms programs. Here's where you need to be reaching out. Here's how you need to be reaching out. Here's the things you need to be, you know, engaging in. And that, it for a lot of agencies, is where that stops. It's like, okay, now we'll find you a partner to help maybe execute some things on Facebook, or we'll help you execute a blog or those types of things. But the difference here is that they're like, okay, we'll involve the platforms team in this discussion all the way through. And whatever that comm strategy dictates, we're then going to be able to say, and we'll execute this. So it's not that there's a, here's your strategy, use internal teams or figure it out. So that type of integration there is really helpful in terms of really having a kind of a fully rounded set of services there. And I feel like that's been a huge, that's a huge piece of it in 2011. It's not enough to just say, I'm going to implement WordPress for you. I'll have, you'll have sidebar widget management. You'll have image management. You'll be able to do all these great whiz-bang things. You have to go a step further and say, you know, if we can help you in terms of your content strategy, in terms of how you really properly leverage this tool to its fullest potential from a content strategy, that's, it's huge, because then that continues to iterate what the product lifecycle is. So as you're engaged in the content strategy, you're seeing how the audience reacts to it. You're seeing what people are asking for. That comes right back to the development side and says, all right, now we need to do these five more things. And you've got this long-term engagement now where, from a business perspective, is far more you know, beneficial, because you've got a stride, you've hit your stride, you're working together, you're comfortable together, and you're not just spinning up new projects every 3 or 4 months, which can become a huge burn on a team when, just by the time you're getting used to working together, okay, developers, we're done with you. We can move on. You know, we'll take it from here. It's much more of a, let's work together and continue to work together because we're involved in the content piece long after we're done with maybe the feature development.
Talk to me about the roles on your team, because a lot of companies now seem to be adding content strategist as a position, right? Like there's one person, okay, now we got Bob. Bob's in charge of content strategy. The way you're talking sounds like a lot more that that's something that the whole team or even the whole company is really focused around. So what are the actual roles on your team?
Yeah, so from the platforms team side, there's it's a kind of a development team structure. We're split into there's project management, but then there's development and there's design, if you want to just really oversimplify it. So on the development side of things, we've got front-end developers and we've got, you know, hardcore app developers working on those things. Systems administrator on our team, just to kind of handle that, especially that last mile of a project where it goes from, here's everything we've staged and developed, now let's get this to production and beyond that. So making sure that we're we have the full capabilities to do that there. And then on the design side of things, it's, you know, all around user experience and the whole design side of it that we're focused on. So that's the platforms team. There really isn't anyone in the platforms team that's necessarily content strategy focused. There's a whole side on the social media services side and even in the PR side that, depending on the type of project, we're already leveraging those existing teams to do that. And for me, as a guy who was heading up a development shop, that was very enticing to me, because these folks knew content and knew it in a way that wasn't necessarily that felt haphazard or anything else. There was you know, full on editorial calendars. We are going to sit down and we are going to talk about exactly, you know, here's what you're trying to do. Here's how you're reaching out. Here's how we're measuring that, you know, and the impact and all those things were already in place. So it's not just about developing content. It's about measuring the impact and reacting to those things. And it's a whole team of folks that are responsible for that. And it's far more helpful for our team to be able to focus on what we do well.
When it comes to, like the services agency component, and then you've got WordPress. How does fighting commoditization of like this community, which like WordPress, right, open source, they're all very free. Like everything needs to be free. With like high end agency, like how do you rectify those two, and how do you make it so what you guys are doing doesn't get commoditized at all? How do you make clients be very excited to work with you?
Right.
So you can actually go in and sit down and go, like, we're having an interview now, and if you meet our standards, like, let's do a project together if we both like each other.
Right. It's tough because, the WordPress community is great in that there's a wide range of kind of capabilities and everything among that community. So there's a low barrier to entry. WordPress presents itself as 5-minute install, you're up and you're running and go. So, you know, from a system that presents itself as that simple, how can you turn around and say, this project is going to cost these, you know, tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in order to do that, you know, based on a platform that's, so simplistic. So the differentiation there is that, again, we're not trying to think about this as a WordPress development shop. We are a custom dev shop that really loves the WordPress platform and uses that. And so we're trying to more focus on here's the well thought out, well executed solutions to your problems that you're coming to us with, or the strategies that you've got, and here's how we want to react to those types of things, as opposed to necessarily saying, here's a set of tools we have. Let's work that in. Let's work our set of tools to fit, you know, fix your problems. Let's talk about what it is you need to do, and then we'll come up with something that's custom around that to really kind of marry those two things there. So, we try to really differentiate among both, you know, that we're going to do a full service design thing, but that also, you know, talking about these systems in most cases and the types of projects we're working on, there's a lot of external service integrations and internal service integrations that happen at different corporations that we really, that solutions don't exist for. There's not just a WordPress plugin that's necessarily, if you're PlayStation, there's not a WordPress plugin out there that's going to do the PlayStation network integration with your blog. So let's sit down and let's figure out the best way to integrate your PSN login system, single sign-on, with the blog. And now I can log into that. I can comment and all that stuff, and things, my avatar and all that follows me around on that sort of thing. There's no existing solutions for that thing. And so it's our team that takes that and says, we can come up with a custom solution for that and then deliver on that. That's allowed us to get to this point. And we don't really tend to compromise too much on, the value that this team provides, in terms of like, you know, it coming out to an engagement, because it's a great market and the fact that there can be very low cost sites. But I'm of the opinion that depending on the gravity of the site or the importance of the site and the audience and the types of things you're trying to do from that, there's absolutely a level of detail and cost that is associated with that type of project, and has to be recognized, whether that's WordPress, whether that would be Drupal, whether you're talking about a SharePoint installation. You know, I don't care what service you're on. It's more about making sure that what you're delivering is to the standard or even above the types of brands and engagement that's happening in those areas.
If somebody was to come to you, and I'm sure this has happened, with that work order, like, here's what I want, please go build it, mm-hmm. How do you turn those conversations around? Or do you not?
No, it's always great because, you've at an agency, you've got a wide variety. Every approach is going to be different. Some people are going to come to you with just like the, 100,000 foot view that's just like, I need to create a website. And then you've got to do a lot of distilling of detail from that point. Other folks will come to you and have a, 100-page brief. I'm absolutely terrified by the 100-page brief typically yeah. because you've obviously spent way more time trying to figure it and pull this thing apart than, than it was necessary. And so this engagement will probably not be one where we engage back and forth. You're just going to dictate to me how we do this project. So.
Well, and or nobody's really going to feel that great if you make them throw out the last 99 pages
right.
of their 100-page brief. So.
So, you know, that's there's always a varying level of detail. And I appreciate whatever folks typically come at with, like, here's a list of things that we're trying to do on this site. We really need a better way to get we've got videos and we're trying to get videos out to our audience, and or we're trying to create this community where we can share ideas among our users, and we want to do this, and so some and these are the types that we want comments, and we want Facebook likes, and we want, and if they're in that level of detail, that's fine, but we can always come back and say, all right, well, you know, as far as Facebook likes, or if you know, it's tweet this or whatever that is, like, what are we really trying to achieve there? What's the, you know, is the audience using those? Are there other things that we should be thinking about in terms of just discoverability of this content that we should be integrating on these types of things? I get where your mind's at, that you want people to get this, to show in other channels where this information exists. But maybe there's better ways that we can think about those things. And so it's really kind of taking, if they're really detailed points, trying to distill those back to a point of concepts and say, all right, I get what you're talking about in this concept. Here's where past experience has told us you might want to do this or think about this and whatever else. And I think, you know, if we're talking about differentiators, past experience there plays a huge role in that, because I can sit down and say, you know, well, here's what we've done in the context of CBS, where we've rolled out 115 or 100 plus radio websites using the WordPress platform. And here's some things that you might want to think about in that, you know, context, because obviously there was a lot of lessons learned even in that sort of thing. So
how do you feel about RFPs?
Necessary evil, I suppose.
Really?
It's part of what we do. I mean, I think every job, every business has those things that we all just kind of dread and think, they're not pushing the business forward, necessarily. But they make people feel well at a certain executive level, and there's certain things that I think you end up taking on as a result of being an agency working with a big brand, where there's a certain level of accountability that they have to show, that there has been, here is what we've asked for that's been documented, and here's where we went out and talked to people to make sure we were getting correct pricing and things like that. So
I never feel like I can get the value proposition across in an RFP. Like, we try as hard as possible to not do them. Because I don't fundamentally believe in, like, pitching for work when it's not even a pitch. It's like, fill out this job application, and we just want the price, right? And
I think a lot of the thing you made good points, because it's all mostly out of context because what you're trying to do at the end of that, it is based on the dollar amount. If it was based on the dollar amount at the end of that, then that's probably a project I wasn't necessarily interested in anyway, if you were just going to try to lowball that. I know that we've had success in the past around those things, and typically if it was either a larger brand or a larger opportunity there, when we've taken those on, future work has always never been through that same sort of channel. And it just depends on how much of a dog and pony they're looking for. If it's around spec work and lots of all these other pieces, you know, forget about it. But if you want to know about us and you want to know what we've done and you want to kind of give me some background on what it is you're trying to look for and how we might approach that, you know, yeah, I'll go through that process. I'll talk to you about those types of things. And it also depends on how you ended up finding me within an RFP process as well. Because there are people that will end up finding you to add to their RFP process that might have been through a very solid lead that was like, look, so-and-so told me to contact you. I really respect that person. So I think you guys really need to be a part of this. And I feel like you might have a leg up at that point, that if you just take the time to go through that, it might pay off.
Those are the ones I feel obligated to do, but I still don't want to.
You benefit from having product too, though. Like, we have no product. And so
we have a burgeoning a shelf of products, but none of them are huge and wildly successful. And
I was going to ask you about that. Do you ever get the startup bug? I mean, is it hard folk just saying, nope, we're an agency? I mean, is that something you have to remind yourselves frequently, or is it just ingrained now?
Yeah, it is hard, because part of me says, there's, with the talent that's available on this team, sky's the limit. And we do focus all of our time on creating great products for others, and never for ourselves. On our team, we are very good to take time throughout the year, where we actually shut off the client work for a week anyway. We do it 3 or 4 times a year, and try to focus on those things that we would have worked on if we didn't have client project. It's not enough time to like perfectly like plan a product and do all these things, but it is enough time to like to take on some things that are maybe smaller short-term gains that absolutely could either then be iterated from that point, or that can already just be turned back around and shown to clients and we can use kind of in our work, but at least allows us that opportunity to build something that was for ourselves, that wasn't client directed, mm-hmm. that wasn't, you know, didn't have a big committee around it or anything else. So we try to take some of that, but I won't rule out the possibility that mm-hmm. we don't do more of that in the future, because products and applications and things like that scale really well, as opposed to custom application work, which doesn't. I mean, you have to throw people at it and you have to add more people to take on more projects. And so, if we are able to come up with some wildly successful apps, that's great. And I think we do have some pretty solid insights into the types of problems that other people are solving that don't have existing solutions that we could absolutely, you know, with some confidence, turn around some things that would be successful, you know, if we just took that time. But, we're on this really incredible growth curve right now in the team in terms of projects, and it's very hard to just take that moment at this point and step away and say, let's put the brakes on this and let's think about some things product-wise for ourselves. But once we get kind of past this initial rush here where we're just kind of wrapping our head around everything that's happening around us, you know, it could happen. I think it'd be great.
Well, I think that's all the time we've got for today. We're trying to keep all of these under 30 minutes. I know this one's going to run just a hair long, but Nick, appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come chat with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, and good luck in all your future endeavors.
Thanks, man.